Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com. News and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
Live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. With your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Friday pre-market prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen with you here this morning. Before we get started, if you are wondering, hey, I can't comment. What's going on? I'm not allowed to comment. You are allowed to comment. Just hit the subscribe button, and then you'll be allowed to comment. Doing a fun little experiment today that I meant to do yesterday and forgot. So hit subscribe, and then you'll be able to comment and tell us how much you love us or hate us. We got a good show today. We're going to talk about just rotation, and the reopening trade. Joel and I discussed this a little bit yesterday at the close, but the reopening trade is looking not great right now, or does it? That's what we'll talk about here today. Mark Hedgepotter is our guest, as always, on Fridays at 8:35. He will hopefully have some other things to talk about besides Lordstown Motors. And normally we'd have Jason Rasick on at later in the show, but Jason Rasick cannot come on today, so that's okay. I'm going to stay on with you guys past 9. We'll have Ryan Faluna and Jonathan Mallard do some trading into the open. We got a long show today, extra long show. Joel, let's bring up those charts. Good morning. How are we doing this morning?
We're in the red by 14 handles at 41.98. Crude is down 91 cents at 70.13. Gold, a little bit of a rebound, up 19.50 at 17.94.30. Silver on the rebound trail as well, up 59 cents at 26.45. Bitcoin just hanging out under 40K. That's up $115 at 37.780. And Ethereum going the opposite way. That's down $26 at $23.1275. And it's Quad Witch. It's the expiration. It's the only day that the spy is not Dennis's friend.
Why?
Well, you just said that on the pre-market show. You said this is the only day.
Not because of Quad Witch, because it's ex-dividend.
Well, ex-dividend. Correct. Yeah.
And so I come in the systems this morning, and my one system hadn't adjusted for the dividend. I was like, what the hell happened to SPY? And I look at the futures, I was like, ow. And I'm looking at the calendar, and I'm like, yep, it's ex-dividend day for the SPY. $1.375 is the ex-dividend. The adjusted price is $4.2059. Multiple tweets at me saying the adjusted price should be $4.2069. Joke went right over my head because I don't get any of these jokes. The marijuana sex joke went right over my head. I had three people send me 42069. I was like, jeez, am I wrong? And then I'm like, oh. And then somebody actually, Andrew, a friend of mine, we reached out to me and said, that's a joke. I was like, oh. I'm like, oh. I'm too old to get marijuana sex jokes.
Oh, so, man. Yeah. I guess
42069 is a thing.
I think it'd take me a couple weeks to get that one too.
me and Joel, we don't get these old. We don't get these young.
Not that I'm against either, but
oh yeah, we're not. I just didn't get it.
We're leaking. We're leaking hard, Dennis. Expiration. Yeah. We got a turn.
Yeah.
You know, is this a turn? I mean, we've had such a great bull market.
Yeah, we have
such a great turn.
Yeah.
And we were discussing this before, and you're like, you know, you're ready like to buy the dip here, but I'm just looking at this You know, we could talk about individual stocks in a minute, but I'm looking at this. We made a new all-time high this week. We're 55 handles off that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, is there's the multiple dip to things.
I don't know. Well, on SPY, maybe not, because the rotation has kept us higher. So I don't know. I mean, SPY looks like it's right near the high, so there isn't much of a dip there yet. But, you know, we went into this argument here, and the reopening trade has been getting hammered. I'll just say, if you don't have any reopening stocks, maybe you start nibbling at this point in time, because I still don't think the reopening trade is going away. I mean, I nibbled on some Las Vegas Sands. That's, you know, from 66, it's back. I was actually up in it pretty nicely, and I've given it all back, and I'm red now because I bought it at 55. It's $54. It's going to be down here probably again today with the overall market. I mean, the airlines have all gotten the beats. None of this stuff is really cheap, so it does depend a lot on where is the reopening going. Are they worrying about these variants now? Are they worrying, you know, that maybe the vaccines aren't going to be as effective? Or is this just, let's just sell, you know, some of the stuff here because the reopening trade maybe got overbought to a certain extent. So I think if you don't own any of these stocks, maybe you're nibbling into some of the airlines, some of the casinos, maybe even some of the cruise lines. But then there's issues. I mean, with Royal Caribbean, it's tough because they come out and, you know, now there's 7 crew members that, you know, were apparently vaccinated and got COVID. So now they got to, you know, if they're going to continue to, there's always going to be somebody probably still getting COVID. So if they're going to stop the ship from sailing because somebody gets COVID on the ship, that's tough. I mean, I don't know if I want to own cruise lines if that's the case. So it's tricky market.
I just, you know, I really like having, you know, different guests on the show because you get different perspectives. And when we were talking to the cowman yesterday, Scott, he was talking about, yeah, the economy's doing great. These, you know, everyone's having blowout numbers. Well, you just restarted the economy. You're starting from zero, basically. So the comparisons really over last year and last summer are, I mean, they're just not there. And yeah, we're going to get through it. You know, we have, but I mean, could you have the same a year from now? Can you have the same expectations for these retail stocks? I mean, God forbid we go into another lockdown, but you know, yeah, this growth is great. Yeah, they're getting some bang up numbers, but is it just because you started from zero? From, you know, restarting the economy. So that really, I mean, that gave me a good perspective on things. And, you know, I try not to get bearish all the time. But really what I'm seeing this week, you know, for the first time on a weekly basis, the market is telling me heading into next week, look to sell first. And I'm just looking at the indexes, the S&Ps. I'm not talking about individual stocks. But from a purely mathematical point of view, who knows what's going to happen today? They could turn around and rip this 50 points, but it's an expiration. We have a turn and on the lows for the week. I just don't think I can get my buying shoes on yet in anything. And I have a lot of way too much cash, but I'm just not super excited about going out here and buying different things. Like the banks, we debated this yesterday. I mean, 2 years, maybe. I mean, all the conjecture that we had about, oh, well, he softened his tone, he's going to do it sooner and everything. I can't predict that. All I know is those banks opened up at the high. I haven't seen a whooping in Citi. Well, Citigroup gave some bad numbers.
Been getting whooped for days here. Yep. Now. A couple of my Twitter followers wanted us to talk Citigroup, so let's do the technicals here. I thought we might bounce at the 69 to 70 area. We cut through that yesterday, and it continues to get whipped here this morning. I mean, it's oversold in the short term. So it's due for a bounce. Where that bounce happens, who knows? I mean, these banks, again, in the longer term, were overbought, though, too. So you go 40 to 80, and the better – Citigroup doubled. Let's give a perspective. Citigroup doubled from October. So in 9 months, we went from $40 to $80. You know, could you do a 50% back at 60? It's possible. I'd be a buyer at 60 if it got down there, but that's 8 points away. Some of the other banks didn't have those kind of rallies, but some of them did. So – I don't know. It depends on what your allocation is. Like, I still think the barbell approach is the way to go. If you're heavily, you know, into tech and tech's making new all-time highs, maybe you're moving a little bit around here. I mean, the U.S. steel, somebody wanted us to talk about that one too. It falls in the same categories. Commodities, banks all seem to be trading together. I sold some up at 28 and 20. Should have sold it all. And then, yes. And then 2 days ago, I was like, you know, I don't like the chart. And I sold the rest of it 25.80. 2380. So I'm all out of U.S. steel, but now it comes back down to my buy zone. I was saying that
20 it is.
To 22.
It
so
is.
You fall another $2, I'm probably going to rebuy the stock I just sold. You know, they're still making a lot of money. I don't think, you know, this economy is going on hold here. But the chart doesn't look great. It doesn't look healthy when it's going straight down. But I tell you, buying those charts when they're going straight down has been working for a long time.
So you did, how many stocks did you do there? You did C and then
CNX.
Look at the, let's throw out all the 60 minute. Let's even throw out the daily and say they're totally irrelevant. Let's go to the monthly. 3 out of 4 monthly lows at 68. You hit 68.16 yesterday. You're down 66 cents. And look under there. So you got 3 out of 4 monthly lows at 68. If you think that's the bottom, I kind of find when I think something's the bottom, it's usually not. So you take a stab here at 66. I just don't think you wait to 65 or 64 to find out you're wrong. Or let it break through 68 here and come back and hold it. But that's a monthly chart. That's monthly data. And there's a lot of air underneath that. X, I know, God, there's someone asked me about that almost every day. Yes, it's in a trading range. Yes, it's coming into a 5, 6, 7 lows. But here's the thing, guys. I know if you buy it here, you get the dip at 23 and a quarter or 23 and a half. You're not waiting to 21 to find out you're wrong on it. This area has been an area of significance. So yeah. I see the support. I see what you're talking about. Just comes down that many times.
It's a hard candle, though, Joel, too. I don't know if I'm necessarily – the one thing is a lot of times you see, it's hard to catch the falling knife. And, with Citigroup, X, these all look the same. You're literally trying to hope it just bounces off that support for the first time. It's always easier to let the thing bottom, miss the bottom. Then you have a level to lean on, so I never strike, even though, I was talking about Citigroup, maybe getting, down and dirty and buying some at 69 or 70. I didn't buy any X. It's just not my style. The better way is to let it bottom, let it just, hit the floor, and then you get a bounce day. Then you use that bottom as your stop out, saying, okay, I think this is it. So, we haven't had a bounce day in Citigroup here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've had 7 days in a row of red. Basically straight down for 10 straight sessions, really, and lost some significant amount of money. But I think you wait until they stop going down as opposed to trying to be a hero and saying, oh, this is going to be the level. So, this is the way I think about when I was buying all those those growth momentum stocks a month ago when everybody hated them. I waited, though, on Fubo. I waited until that thing hit rock bottom, at $15. And then it started to bounce. And then it gave me consolidation. Then it gave me a chance, and I bought at 20. So I didn't get the bottom at 15, but I waited until, okay, it looks like the sellers are now getting exhausted. You can see it in the chart. I'm talking the consolidation period.
Right here.
May 17th to May 24th, a full week of consolidation around 20. It wanted a whole 20. I'm like, well, I got it defined out at 20. So I think I bought it at 20.50, and I sold at 25 about 2 days later. Again, I sold early. I always sell early, but that's a hell of a trade. 20% in 2 days, I take that all day long. So it's those setups that I'm always looking for. Not being the hero, buying the stock when it's crashing, but waiting for it to bottom, hit rock bottom. So if Citigroup or X do the same thing, where, okay, boom, it looks like now they're consolidating. Now they want to bounce a little bit. Now I have a level to lean on as opposed to trying to catch the falling knife.
Rita Ford, dollar cost averaging. Dennis and I are not big fans of dollar cost averaging. I'm in or I'm out. Yeah. The only dollar cost averaging we did was not by me. And well, it wasn't dollar. It was, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about Peloton. And we got to talk about this rotation yesterday. I mean,
wicked.
I don't even think that.
It was this morning too, but go ahead.
No, I mean, I just, I try and, look at things independently, on my levels, base my trades on them. And when they're screaming short and I look, I see Apple up $2, Microsoft up $2, Amazon up $30, Google up, Facebook, Tesla up. They were at one point, they were all up like a percent to a percent and a half. And the Dow was down 220. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And a lot of it was the financials. It looks like, I don't know if this time around, if the big boys can withstand the selling of the other 490 stocks in the index.
Maybe they can, though. They have before. And yep. That is the one thing, you know, we talk about, oh, this is really ugly. You know, you were looking at some ugliness. I mean, you had multiple stocks making new highs yesterday. Yeah. QQQ made new all-time highs yesterday. Yep. You had, obviously, you know, you look at Facebook, it's bumping its head up right near the all-time highs. Apple had a good day breaking out over 130. Microsoft has come all the way back from where they hated it a month ago down to 240. Now everybody loves it at 261, which is up against resistance. I sold some of my Marvel technology yesterday, just lightening up because it seems like everybody's just, okay, got to buy tech, got to buy tech, got to buy tech. I feel like the tech rally, even though some of the mega caps are breaking out and the queues broke out, I still feel like it's a little long in the tooth, and I wouldn't be surprised they pull the rug out from under that one of these days. So if they keep hammering stocks, they're going to pull the rug out from under the tech too. So even though QQQ is making new all-time highs, and yes, I still have my Microsoft, and yes, I still have my Amazon, and yes, I still have my Google, and yes, I still have my Apple, I was just looking at lightening up because this has been a big move. Like Marvel Technologies, MRVL, I sold half of it yesterday. Didn't sell it all. But I bought this back at $40, $41 I think it was. Actually, no, it's back in March. And I watched it go from 40 to 50 and then back down to 41. Now it's went from 41 to 55. You're right up there. We are breaking out. We are at new all-time highs on Marvel Technologies, which is always a good thing, or at least bumping up against it, not quite making a new all-time high. But just lightening up, just in case that old high holds.
What is Bullard saying here? I mean, holy mackerel.
I see 2% inflation being approached from the upside. Is that that's going across on a CNBC headline?
I mean, we are getting just lit up like a Christmas tree here, Dennis.
He's saying a lot of things.
Where is he talking right now? Where is he?
CNBC? I just caught it out of the corner of my eye.
Oh, he is there.
He's on TV. Yeah, yeah. He's talking about the debate.
Hey, get him off the screen.
Get him off the screen. Dennis, cancel bids.
Pull him off.
All right. We are, though.
Halt the markets. Halt the markets. We can't take it anymore. Doesn't he know it's Quad Witch? You don't talk bearish on Quad Witch. Everybody starts selling. Just kidding with all that. But
he's talking about the tapering debate. Remember, they didn't even really talk about tapering on Wednesday. That is to come. I can never quite get this guy figured out because sometimes
he's not on it anymore. Or is he?
He's still on.
He's still on. St. Louis Fed.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know. Because some of these guys that were on there, they like to, you know who we should get on the show, Spencer? No. We haven't had an economist on in a while. Is he still in the dock?
Muhammad?
No, he's hard to get on.
We've got him. We've had him on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a Mikkel. What was his name? Melnick?
Oh, Dr. Melnick?
Yeah. Remember him, Dennis?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him.
Kennesaw State University?
Yeah. Okay.
Memory here.
Oh, that was a long time.
Under the bus.
Spoos just bounced. We're attempting to bounce 84. That splits the intraday and pre-market low from yesterday, 83 and 85. So I was going to tell Dennis to cancel old bids, but then I noticed we were on the low for the week. So if we're going to bounce, it's going to
be out all bids. I have no idea. This market, nobody knows. Okay. Everybody thinks they know everything. And again, nobody knows anything. You know, it is this type of market where we're adjusting to what the Fed has said. We are seeing the US dollar show some life after it's just shown death here for the last 6 months. So, I mean, all of that comes into play here. I'm letting the dust settle on a few of these stocks. I'm looking at buying the dip in some of these stocks, but I'm waiting for them to bottom out. I'm not coming in this morning. And sometimes they turn on Quad Witch, but remember, we got a Russell rebalance next week too. We have lots of volatility. We're going to have lots of opportunity here. Trading the inefficiencies I'm always doing, but as opposed to just coming in here and loading up all the reopening stocks, I'm going to wait till they bottom.
You know who does know everything, and I don't know if he's in the chat today. I think it's Christopher Fortsman or something, because I was thinking about the expiration pump, you know, the pump up. I mean, how many times, on the expiration, buy imbalances, and they just jack it. We're up 20, 30 handles, and then it fades all day. And he goes, no, I think it's going to be the opposite this time. So I would much rather have faded a big up open. I mean, now, with this open the way it is near last week, I mean, I'd hate to, have to buy it and hope it goes back up. But it's an interesting setup. There must be a ton of selling balances. Or it's either bullet or selling balances.
Remember, on option expiration, you can't really look at them until even a minute before they all flip. They're all buys, and they're heavy, heavy buys. But it's meaningless, and every prop trader knows they're meaningless at this time. They all flip around. So on normal days, you're looking at the opening imbalances, and you can get a feel for, okay, does this make sense? On this day, there's so much institutional action that all those buys can easily flip to sells in the snap of a finger. So yeah, so if I'm looking right now, I mean, Morgan Stanley, I have max prices on McDonald's. What I mean by max price, they project out the opening price. What they do in New York, which is a nice feature, is they actually take the opening imbalance and then they look at the book and they add it all up. And if they can't supply enough liquidity to meet the opening demand, they show you a max price. Max price on stock, right? Nobody knows this. You only learn this on pre-market prep. Max price is $4,294.67.
Sold.
That's the max indicated price. I see that max indicated price on Philip Morris, COF, PNC, FedEx, American Express, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. Yeah, there's a bunch of other ones too. ADM, you know, if you want to go off the board. Those are all meaningless. You can't look at that information today. Other days you can look at it. We get these projected openings, you know, and NASDAQ has adjusted their opening process too, where 925, they give you the opening imbalance, and then 928, they give you the projected opening price. But, you know, New York adjusts that prices continuously. So just because Morgan Stanley is $164,000 to buy and there's not enough in the book, there's going to be traders that are going to come in to sell to that. I will be one of those traders. I provide.
Oh, man, we're free falling now. I mean, we just went to yesterday's, the low from yesterday, like a hot knife through butter. Just went to, I hope I don't have to adjust my numbers again here. What do I got? 60. We shouldn't get that close to my bottom number.
Is he still talking? Tell him to shut up.
Oh my lord. Jeez, he's get someone bullish on.
Let me rip up the my long-term account. Thanks, Buller.
Can we do something? Get this guy up.
Just let me call.
He says I see initial rate increase in late 2022. That's new information.
All right.
Because they were telling 2023, call him up. Call Becky White right now. Is it Becky on with her? Who's on with her? Yes, Becky. Call her up. Tell her stop the interview. It's imploding the market.
It's not good for the market.
Spencer's kidding. I'm on the phone right now. What did she say? Did
went
she
straight say, to voicemail. What does that mean?
Went straight to voice. Becky, pick up the phone. We're trying to call you. We need to get Bullard off because right now all of our lungs are imploding.
This is what you do. You say you're Warren Buffett, and she would run off the
She'd
set.
Hang up on Bullard, yeah. Warren Buffett's on hold. He wants to talk to markets. I got to let you go, Bullard. So do that, Spencer, and then we'll save the markets. And then we'll give you credit at the end of it. Spencer Israel saved the markets because he got Bullard off the TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the one thing Dennis was talking about. If there was any truth to that buy imbalance, like on a normal day, Morgan Stanley wouldn't be trading down 80.
They wouldn't be trading down. That's why these flip around. There's institutions, you know, ExxonMobil showing 1.2 million to sell. You know, there's no point. On other days, we can talk the opening balances. Jesus, even when I see them at 9:29 a minute before the open, they still sometimes all flip on you. I think the only safe way to play, if we want to talk about how I play these quad witches, is I provide liquidity into them. Meaning, if you've got the market down 1%, and you've got certain stocks that, you know, don't have any news that are market, you know, that are close to, you know, market performance, they're going to open down, like a wide example, 3%, I'll buy those. You know, if they're going to open up, I'll short those. So I basically, it's called enveloping is what I call it. You know, I go around fair values here, I'm selling short up here, I'm buying here, and my systems are going to adjust. I do use some algorithms to do that stuff. That's just basic index arbitrage, but there is opportunities for us humans even on these types of days, as stocks may open out from where their indexes are, but they come right in right away, usually anyways.
You know what? I feel absolutely horrible because I was talking bearish at the top of the show. I didn't mean for this to happen, folks.
Oh, you did this.
You know what? No.
You got Bullard off.
Bullard's off. Okay. It's not switch the algo.
It's my fault. I knew this was going to happen too. Because I'm wearing a red shirt. I knew this was going to happen.
Stop wearing red shirts. We should have wore green shirts.
I
wearing
about
blue,
it.
Which is useless.
I thought about it.
And I'm even more useless. Mine's a Detroit Lions shirt. So maybe I should have known, put on the Detroit Lions shirt. No way the market's going to perform well. What's your shirt say, Joel? Your coach of what?
Detroit.
Maccabi. Just Detroit. He's just coach of Detroit.
No, all together.
He's just the Detroit coach.
Do you know how old this shirt is?
I coach Detroit.
Do you want to know how old this shirt is?
Older than you.
Yeah.
I wore this to the Maccabi games when I coached the swim team in Houston in 2007.
Nice.
Yeah. Isn't it nice? Detroit coach. Nice. I got a bunch of them. Material. They were free, Dennis. They give you free shirts.
I love free shirts. It's if I go to the beer store, we have the beer store in Canada. Well, actually, you can buy it at the grocery store now, too. But if I go in there, I'm always looking, you know, like, hey, is there something free in one of these cases of beer? Oh, free t-shirt. I was like, I'll take that. Free hat. I'll take that. I'll wear that all summer and maybe next summer.
Okay.
This is a bad tangent. Okay. We got to get to
stocks. We talk
people
stocks
are leaving.
Now.
People are leaving the show right now because
yeah,
we haven't talked
to any stocks. Down? They're
Adobe. Let's go to earnings.
Yeah, let's go to Adobe earnings. Out last night, and the numbers were good. EPS beat, sales beat. They gave some guidance as well. That was higher than estimates on the EPS and sales. So beat across the board for Adobe last night. How they doing this morning?
New all-time highs. What's not to like? Stock making new all-time highs. The only thing is, I don't know, is it overextended? Maybe, but this can go anywhere. Stocks making new all-time highs. I absolutely don't short. I never short a stock making a new all-time high. Why? Because there's no pain up there, and I've seen new all-time highs beget more new all-time highs more often than they usually give it back. So stock is strong. Market is weak. If this market goes to turn and starts to go up, probably Adobe will lead the charge higher here.
Lunchback?
Sure.
Oh yeah.
We don't see 572.98.
Is that the highs?
Yeah.
It's tough when we're down 30 handles.
About a virtual lunch bet. I could dial you up on Zoom and then we can
mine would be
our
contingent on the market rebounding. If the market rebounds, Adobe will touch those.
Now
five.
You know why Dennis makes so much money. He doesn't think
I hedge. I trade hedged.
It's a target. That's what I'd give you as a target, folks.
Sure. I'm not making lunch bet, though.
Out. Okay.
I don't feel like a lunch.
I think you still owe me like a dozen lunches. We can't cross the border, so one day
I did
we'll
pay you a steak dinner once. Where'd
you
we
did,
go?
Actually. It was a good steak dinner, too. Yeah, Ruth Chris.
That?
Nice dinner.
Yeah.
That was a really good one.
All right. Can we get over yesterday's low? 41.83. We bounced. They got Bullard's big mouth off there. Let's see if we can rebound. First, we got a hold 41.83. That was a low from yesterday. So we'll keep an eye on that.
One more up a buck this morning is SWBI, Smith & Wesson. They had earnings. They also blew it away. They also reported a $15 million buyback and a dividend raise.
Ooh-hoo.
5 cents to 8 cents. That's a quarterly dividend right there.
Are they changing their name again?
No,
they changed the ticker symbol, Joel, every other quarter. I can't even follow it anymore. I still type in like SWHC or what was the one before that? Smith & Wesson was before it was a brand.
It was American Outdoor Brands.
American Outdoor Brands.
AOB.
But then they didn't like that one and they changed the ticker symbol. They continuously change the ticker symbol on this one. It screws up all of my systems. So they have to adjust those manually, and I'm too lazy too. So I am probably still running like AOB in there, or AOC or whatever it was. Anyways, it's up 92 cents, nice lift. People are buying guns still, apparently. This stock has these huge orders that just show up during the day, and it's like a buck and a half wide. I think it's upwards of like, I don't know if they're making markets or what they're doing, but I saw it last night even on the earnings report. It was down like 1950 and 2150. It was like 100,000 to buy at 1950, another 100,000 to sell like 2150. And it couldn't even, I'm thinking those were the numbers, and I was taking that just from, I think it was the ARCA book or maybe it was Edge. But anyways, I've seen those orders there for a few days now. So I'm not sure if those
are big. Okay.
Yeah. So where did it get down to yesterday? Did it take that out?
Go to the
1955. So the 1950, watch that level. If it goes to pull, it's going to pull back, but I'm saying there's big buyers down there in the 19 and a half area and there's big sellers up at 21 and a half. So I'm giving you the range.
Yep. You see, in the book, you see 21 and a half.
Not this morning, but last night I did. They were making the market into the earnings report and they held those orders there.
Ooh,
so somebody was 1950 to 2150, and it's not surprising that traded within that range because that takes a lot 100,000 shares on Smith & Wesson.
Pre-market?
The big order. after hours last night.
That takes a big set. I mean, they want it.
They're scalping.
Yeah.
Well, they're hoping you hit them at 19.50 for 100 thou, and you left me at 21.50 for 100 thou, make 200 thou.
Does Bob know you're putting those orders out there?
Yeah. Not me.
I'm
not that crazy.
Can I sometimes we make some good calls, some bad calls, but one we really dissected yesterday was Ford's. Did you see what that thing did? It never even sniffed that.
Good call, Joel. You said it was a selling opportunity, and it absolutely was. So I still like Ford. I'm still long Ford. This reopening trade these are trading with the reopening stocks. And obviously, GM and Ford got hammered yesterday.
Okay. All right, Spencer, good call. Take it away here. It's 8:30, 5 minutes before Marcus.
Well,
you wanted to talk about that crazy stock, right?
Just for a second, and then I want to get Marcus on. But this ORPH, when people cry that there's manipulation in the market and they say there's naked shorts or whatever, and manipulation, this is what they should be talking about, this ORPH crap, okay?
What has happened here?
This thing was at last week was at $77.
Why?
Okay? Why was that?
It went from 5 to 77. Why did it do that?
Because why?
Because
the market
was this a Reddit stock?
I don't think so. I do not think so. I think it was just a chat room. Okay, and I have my suspicions about who it was, but I don't know for sure, so I'm not going to say. Okay. And they had a PDUFA date yesterday. Was it yesterday or no? It was this morning. It was this morning. It was like 2-3 hours ago. They got a complete response letter from the FDA.
Ooh, that's never good.
Drug. Never good news when that happens. So this morning, ORPH, which closed at what, 15? Yeah, give or take. Is at 6 or 7, somewhere around.
697.
Yeah, 697.
That'll leave a mark.
Right? So it went from 77 last week to 6. Yesterday, he got pumped from 10 to almost 24. 6 this morning. 6. The company's obviously.
How could you not lose? I mean, someone said they made some money on this. Good for you.
I mean, if they're going up and they sell soon enough, they do. The problem is, here's the problem with all these social media stocks and what we were, not just Reddit, it's Twitter, Discord. There's all chat rooms everywhere talking their books, talking their stocks all the time. They don't seem to hold. So, I mean, you can, say, oh, I love this stock, and the GameStop and AMC have been exceptional. They've been the exceptions to the rule here, but it seems like every time, that's what I was saying with the Reddit, with the CRSR, why I sold my CRSR is I've got a history here that these aren't holding these, when they get these pops off of chat rooms or off of Reddit or off of social media, they typically aren't holding in most cases, and they're giving them back relatively quickly. So I don't know if this was, I don't follow the story. I did see it hit my filter a few times, but I just ignored it. I saw it going crazy. It's not my cup of tea to trade this kind of stuff, but everybody wants to trade this kind of stuff because they want to get rich fast. People want to I'm going to get that big trade that's going to change my whole life. And you know what? AMC GameStop maybe did change some lives and that's good. It's good stuff, but it's not typical. It's not typical that you're just going to win the lottery in the stock market. So I think that's what everybody's trying to do is what's the next lottery? What's the stock that's going to go up 1,000% so that I can, put all my money in it and retire? That's not typical. Typical is what happens is that people get burned on these things at the end and they lose a lot of money. So I know some people made some money if it went from 5 to 77. You got to sell. When the circus is in town, sell your peanuts, just like Harlan Pine says. Circus left town here with his complete response letter. It's back down to 696. It's hammered. Everybody's a bag holder in this from the last 5 days. Big time bag holders here. It's tough for these things to come back.
This pisses me off. This is what the SEC should be looking at. Maybe they will. I don't know, but this is just ridiculous. You know what I mean? Just ridiculous. Anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest.
I don't know the story, but if people are pumping these things, I mean, I think that stuff regulators are going to start to look at. It's kind of a warning to your social media accounts. It's why we don't like to talk small stocks, because we don't want to be like saying, oh yeah, you're talking your small stocks. We're not about that. We're about teaching. We're about education. We talk mostly mega caps.
Yes.
We're trading big things on technical setups. There is going to be a day of reckoning for a lot of these people out there who are just talking their books. We already saw, like we warned about this a few months ago, some trader out in California got charged on a pump and dump scheme. There's a lot of pump and dump schemes out there right now. I'm not naming names, you know, but there's a lot of traders out there that are simply, you know, even in Reddit, like that's why the mods are doing a really good job, I think, at Wall Street Bets. You know, people are just trying to come in there. They're trying to load up a stock and then they're trying to put it in there and hope Reddit grabs it, hope Reddit grabs it. And the mods are taking down anything with a small float because they don't want, you know, to be accused of this, obviously. And they're doing a good job with this, but everybody wants their stock to be the next stock to be pumped. And, you know, and I'm going to get rich off of it. There's a lot of the pump and dump schemes have existed in this market forever. You know, back in the 1990s, it was newsletters. You'd get these, you know, email newsletters. Remember those, Joel, where, you know, the stock, hot stock of the day. And they're hoping, that what they do is they buy the stock, they load it up, then they pump it out to, you know, their millions of email subscribers, and they hope those email subscribers will buy the stock up, and then they're going to sell it to you. You know, you can talk whatever you want, but if you're coming on actively and loading up a stock and then pumping it out there and then selling into that pump, the regulators are eventually, they've said so much that they're going to start looking at that stuff and cracking down on that. So, I mean, that stuff's going to get cracked down. I don't know. I'm not following this ORPH story, so no. I don't know anything about this one. I'm not sure if that's what's happened in this case. But you just got to be careful trading this kind of stuff.
All right. Let's bring Marcus on. Marcus Heidkotter is the founder of Rockwell Trading, joins us every Friday. Marcus, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Wow, yeah, for sure. Crazy markets, huh?
We're getting hit here a little bit, Marcus, here. I mean, what? Okay, so we're going to stay. I think today we're not even going to talk ride. I don't want to talk ride because you give us lots of good trades here.
No, just before we do that. Just for 2 seconds.
Ride all night long.
Just give us a quick update and then we'll move on.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm still in ride. And
Okay, that's it.
Watching ride is almost watching... like watching your kid learn to walk, right? You almost think, poof, it face plants again, right? And I mean, this year, you got it, and then poof, falls down again. I mean, they are just shooting themselves or keep shooting themselves in the foot. Right. So here's Ride, and if you just zoom in, they had a few good days. So the CEO, the CFO resigned, and this was on Monday, the news. So on Monday at first, the reaction was like, huh, what's going on? They put an interim CEO and CFO in there. They gave an interview on Tuesday and everybody loved it. And so Tuesday and Wednesday were going well. And then yesterday it was again, okay, do you guys have binding orders or not? Well, no, we don't, but we said we do. And it's really like watching your child trying to
I don't think it's like watching your child learn how to walk. It's like teaching your child how to ride a bike. Like, you that know too. They're going to crash. You right. know they're gonna end yeah. up with a bloody knee or something.
Knee pads. You got to put knee pads on.
No, they got to crash. You got to scrape your knee and cry. And you just got to – then you got to run. But, Dennis, you're going to be an old man.
Through this literally a month ago where my boy – well, actually, it was last year, I guess. It was last year where he was really starting to learn how to ride a bike. But he had a bad crash there about a month ago, and he scraped his knee up exactly that. Because now, you know what it is? It's overconfidence now. He's been riding a bike for like a year. He's six, and, you know, and he's going around there. And then he starts speeding really fast and you're doing a little more adventuresome. And then, boom, you know, he wipes out. And it's like, you know, on his bloody knees, what you're talking about.
Anyway,
Marcus, your analogies are awesome, though. We went on a tangent on a Marcus analogy.
Yes,
what are you doing this week? Because now you got it. He's always looking at buying the dip, and he's always looking at, you know, rating some spreads here.
Yeah. I mean, Triple D, you said it, buying the dip. How do you do this? Well, this is where I'm selling puts, right? And I mean, selling puts means that I get assigned at the price where I want to buy. So I can just run you through a few things. By the way, I'm just a few thousand dollars away from cracking $100,000 trading profits this year. So I think right now I'm at 97,594. So hopefully next week we can pop the champagne, making, what is it, six figures. with trading. Yay. And I know I didn't make it with AMC and GME. I saw somebody in the chat said it earlier. I've been trading for 10 years and then his buddy comes along, trades AMC and makes a killing. this must be frustrating. But
what's your average cost now in Ride? Did you bring it down yet? Because it was...
We went away from Ride.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to know because I thought you might be selling puts off that $9 level.
No, I did. For me, honestly, the level that I'm looking for to average a little bit more down was the 7 level. So if I sold... So it puts it at the 7 level, but it never went down there, so didn't get assigned.
I got you.
But collecting more premium right now, I collected a little bit over $15,000 in premium on Ride. So can't complain. But right now, yeah, talk about buying the dip.
I'm
a little bit all over the place here in terms of what kind of stocks. For example, Penn, I like Penn still. So strike price of 75, we'll see. Pre-market, 75.45 expiring today. If it is, today Penn closes below 75, I'll get assigned, and I don't mind owning. I think this would be 2,700 shares in Penn, so a little bit of online gambling. Then I also have Alcoa. I mean, I think this will be a very fun because there's lots of premium in there. So I sold the strike price of 35 because this is where I say, you know what, I don't mind at all owning Alcoa. At 35, because I do believe, I mean, we know what's going on with China right now and all the metal stuff, but there's a good chance that this pops right back here into the range of 36 or 42, somewhere around there. Camping World, this will be an interesting one, but Camping World, I like this stock. I like Camping World. So I sold the 37.50. We'll see what happens today. Right now, pre-market, they're 36, and you said it earlier. I mean, today is a quadruple witching. Today, anything can happen. I mean, this stock could jump to 38. Who knows? But if not, I'm getting assigned. I'll sell calls. And see, this will be a week where I probably nicely load up on shares, and then I can sell calls. And honestly, selling calls, this is where when I look at my account and I look at the highest profits that I realized, GDXJ, I was assigned there, made $20,000, mainly selling calls. Ride, $15,000. Wynn got assigned there, made $8,700. Uber got assigned, Apple. So I like it when I'm getting assigned and when I'm buying the dip here, when I'm buying at a price where I feel comfortable. Let's see, what else? JWN. Nordstrom, strike price of 32.50.
Okay,
so a little bit all across, right? I mean, a little bit growth stocks. Can you call
diversified a value stock? Extent.
Maybe not necessarily, but yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens today. Today is definitely an interesting day, and yeah, right now with who was speaking this morning and just send the market
Bullard. Bullard,
who's he's on there still talking about him on CNBC. Kramer's talking about him now. I mean, he moves markets, and he started selling. Right? We were almost at scratch, and then Bullard came on and they imploded the markets here. He started talking about raising rates as early as late 2022, so okay. I think the market maybe got spooked a bit there as well.
Yeah, but it's super interesting because if you look at the reaction to the Fed over the past 2 days, it was like growth stocks were benefiting, and you think that growth stocks would be hammered by higher interest rates, but they did really well on Wednesday and yesterday. So we'll see what happens today. It was surprising that the Dow actually has the worst week since January thus far. The Dow, right? I mean, you would think that value stocks, but you said it earlier. Maybe right now is a good time to dip your toes into the reopening stocks. And this is why I also, I mean, besides Camping World, I own LVS, Las Vegas Sands.
So I own that too.
I like Las Vegas Sands. I think that we will do well here. Vegas is reopening and people are getting ready to travel. You said earlier, do you want to get on a cruise line? Not necessarily. Do you want to go to Vegas? Probably heck yeah, right?
So. Yeah, I think so too. I think I'd rather own the casinos than the cruise lines. I think I agree with you, Marcus.
Yeah. Anyhow, so this is what I'm up to.
What are you eyeing?
It has been a
good week. Are you eyeing? So this is what you've done. Now, what are you eyeing today? Because we're getting a significant sell-off and you like to sell some puts when you're getting the significant sell-off, when you can get that premium. What are you eyeing?
So right now, I have like six open positions. And for me, my sweet spot is anywhere between 5 to 7.
Oh, you don't want to add too many.
So most of them will expire today. So today, I'm just sitting on my hands, watching them either expire worthless or getting assigned and then say, let's collect more premium. So for me, today will be a super quiet day. And honestly, as you said, quadruple witching, you don't even want to watch it. I mean, it'll just drive you crazy. It'll drive you from nail biting to yippee-yay and oh, God. So, I mean, I'll probably take a day off today. I have my positions on. I'm liking this. And then I'm loading up again on Monday. And honestly, if we keep selling off here, this will be good. There will be plenty of opportunities. X, by the way, you just talked about it. I traded X this week. You see, I actually, was it this week or last week? I sold puts at 22.50. I only closed it because the premium got sucked out of it so quickly. But I wouldn't mind owning X at 22.50. That, for me, is a good level. So buying the dip, I do it by selling puts. Because I said, I mean, you got to wait for a bottom. And here's the deal. I mean, you know how it is. You either enter too early or you enter too late. There's no right way. I mean, there's the only two ways to enter is too early or too late. So this is why I like the market to come to me. And this is why I like to sell puts here. So yeah, I traded X. That was a good one. That was a quick pop.
I sold my X 2 days ago. I'm looking too, though. I think I like your 22-21 level right in there for X. I like to wait until they actually hit rock bottom, I was saying, and then you get a little lift day, and then I lean on that old low as an out. But everybody's got a different style there too. Marcus, obviously, a different style as well. So
yeah. All right. Marcus Heidkotter is the founder of Rockwell Trading. To learn more, to hear more, go to that website that's up on the screen. RockwellTrading.com/Benzinga. Marcus, I'm glad that we were able to talk about things other than Lordstown Motors this week.
But it is the endless saga. You see, we can talk about it for weeks and months. I could write a book. Maybe I should write a book.
What's your strike on the Las Vegas Sands?
Hold on, Las Vegas Sands?
Is that for today?
No, I'm already in for 58. So I'm selling calls against it right now. So I'm selling the 58 calls.
He's already long it.
I'm already long
it. He already got a sign. Okay. So he's long it, and now he's selling upside calls, just bringing in more premium.
Okay. I just keep an eye, Marcus, keep an eye on this 54 here. Three out of the last four lows were trading under it. I'd really like to, for you, so I don't have to worry about this one as much as I do your ride position. Like to see it get to 54. Just hold that area. It's the area of four lows. You don't have much on your monthlies until 50, but keep an eye on 54. Okay.
Yeah, but they also have good premium weekly. Okay, Joel, since you're already looking at the chart, so right, what's your prediction? I know that a couple of weeks ago we talked about it.
Yeah.
One minute. I just want. Is that?
Well, could they just stop coming out with bad news? I mean,
the
just at the chart. I mean, forget about it.
I mean, we talked about the 9.
Just for laughs and giggles.
I like the 9. But I'll tell you right now, if somehow you could get this thing over 11, until it gets over 1150, 1160, I think you're going to maybe come back down and test that 9 again. And even today, 10 better hold, because it's just, man, this thing just comes out with too much back. I mean, every day. But I'd say needs to clear 1150. I'd be worried if it took out 10 today, because I think you're looking at 9.
Yeah. So I don't want to sell the 9. I don't want to buy more than 9, but I like the 7. I like the 7. So I'm looking to sell more puts at the 7 level, collect premium there.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks a lot, Marcus.
All right.
All right. Guys, let's talk about GE here.
GE?
Yeah.
People make fun of us.
Something going on, GE.
Remember that reverse split that was like rumored but never really happened?
And yeah.
Yeah. What's happening now?
That's official.
Official 1-for-8. Okay. Reverse split effective August 2nd.
Why did they do this? So it's official. They've got a date on it. Same general. Yeah. Effective date August the 2nd. I mean, the stock's selling off the overall market. I guess everybody kind of knew. They already said they were going to do it. So it's official now. They got an official date. I never want to own a stock ahead of a reverse stock split, because they never seem to go up as much as they're supposed to. So I don't know, in GE's case, maybe it'll be perfectly going up, but why? I mean, you got a $13 price. I don't get this. I really don't get this.
They want to
so
be
obviously,
sexy, man. They want to be stable.
Well, obviously you lose 87% of your stock position. So you got 1,000 shares. You're going to be left with what? 125? Did I do that math right? That was right in my head right there. Pretty quick.
That's Canadian, man.
That was good, Dennis.
So, I mean, I hate it when they take my stocks away. So,
you know,
splits work a lot better than reverse splits.
You
I have
know
no
what?
Idea why they were doing this. I don't want to own GE at all before this reverse split. You know, maybe for trades, we can do it for trades. But if you think you're going to get a run up into a reverse split, it's not very common.
You know, Nick mentioned the other day about setting alerts, you know, so I send an alert here and I'm like, if this thing, I probably set it, I don't know, like 3 or 4 days after it hit this 1440. And I'm thinking, yeah, wow, all these monthly highs here. So I put an alert that if it trades over, you know, 1450, you know, to look at it, see if it could, you know, break out or a fake out. And I haven't gotten an alert, man. The thing has been straight down. Keep an eye on 1280. If you feel like this is a good thing, you want to own it, down 9 cents. I see four lows, 1280 area. After that, it gets pretty ugly. But, man, how many down days in a row has GE had? Holy Toledo. But looking at 1280, potential support, General Electric.
Noah says he voted no.
I would vote no, too, if I owned it. I don't have a vote because I don't own it.
Yeah. All right, now they don't anymore. Okay,
we're limiting the chat now. You have to be a subscriber.
I'm doing an experiment. It's called an experiment, Joel. If you can't come,
that's not very nice.
Why not?
You should be happy about that.
To subscribe.
You hit a button and boom, you're subscribed. It's
you got to be part of the family.
Yeah, but then they have your algorithms. Then they have your algorithm.
What?
And they can track you down.
No.
And spam you.
Subscribe on YouTube. It's not. This isn't anything crazy. You hit the subscribe button.
It's a YouTube subscribe button.
YouTube thing. Speaking of YouTube, we are launching a YouTube membership program in the coming weeks here. We'll have more details about that.
We had an M&A merger. CAI gets taken out for a huge premium.
Up top, at the very top of my filter of my movers tool this morning, CAI International is being bought by Mitsubishi Capital for $56 a share in cash. Ticker CAI.
Zero people got the memo on this one. They kept this one tight-lipped because the stock was tanking into it. So surprise, surprise for everyone here. $56, huge premium, 46% premium. That's nice. That's a windfall. If you're in it, I'd sell it and just book on move on. That's a nice windfall. I wouldn't expect a better bid.
Who's the acquirer?
Mitsubishi.
Okay. I don't look at it. Forget it.
Yeah, they don't. Well, they don't trade. So at least not in New York. At least not in the U.S.
All right, now everyone in chat saying that I guess people had to unsubscribe and then resubscribe, but it should work is all I'm saying. Let's do some ticker time here. Drop your tickers in the chat. We got a few minutes left, and then I'm going to bring on Ryan Faluna and Jonathan Mallard, and they're going to do some trading into the open stuff and hang out with me for a little while. Okay, Alfred, what about Cheesecake Factory?
I haven't looked at this one for a while.
Portions are too big.
I love big portions.
Portions are too big.
Run a long ways. You know what? If this got down to 40, I'd like it. But, you know, that's a long ways away. But I'm saying longer term, this is kind of where it was before COVID started. And now it's overshot. Are we really in better shape than we were before COVID started? I have a challenge, you know, getting on board these stocks that, you know, got hammered for COVID. Obviously, you know, I think Cheesecake Factory wasn't even paying the rent for a while. Weren't they one of them?
They were like the first one that said, hey,
we're not paying rent.
We can't pay our rent.
Yeah.
But then they did.
And then it makes new all-time highs.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the reopening trade is cool and everything, but is it really are we really in better shape than we were before COVID started? Because you go back to the charts. That's what I like to look at. Take the COVID out as a one-time event. Where were we before COVID started? And we were $40. Now we're 54. I have a challenge thinking the Cheesecake Factory is better. Are they going to get a lift, you know, from everybody wanting to go out? Like, you know, Scotch Lady was saying yesterday, you know, everybody's pumped. Yeah, it's going to get a lift. We're going to have some great earnings. Is that going to stay? That's the question going forward. So I like it at 40. I think at 54, I think you still got a ways to come in before I'm interested.
I agree.
Okay,
moving
right along. King
never agrees.
King 14 Ox. No RAS today, unfortunately. Big CEO man has big CEO things to do and can't hang out with us, but that's okay. The show must go on. Let's talk about
Roblox.
Roblox?
Okay. I saw somebody throw it in there and I wanted to talk about
it.
It's
been like a whole 36 hours.
$80 is the level. This is the level. This is where it broke out from. 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago at the end of May. This is where it kissed right to in the pre-market and in the regular session on June 16th. That is your level. That's the level it needs to hold. If it can hold there, you know, maybe eventually it starts to get some life back too. I kind of like the roadblocks as a trade, but stopping myself out below the 80.
Resistance at 86.5, pair of highs there. No upside until it clears there.
What about Viacom? It's been so quiet.
Oh, man, it has.
It's done basically nothing in the last 3 months.
I cannot figure these stocks out. Discovery, Viacom, we had Fox. It's been kind of going sideways. Fox announced a big buyback there last night. They're shrugging that off, and it's not even getting any love for that either. I don't know. I own Discovery. I put some in there. It's starting to break down, though. It's making me think, like, I don't know. Is this going to be the, you know, the undercut and rally trick from Gil Morales? It could be. I'm looking at DISCA making new lows on the move, and DISCK. I'm down to, I actually was up in this nicely. I had bought it at $30. I think DISCA, I bought it right around the 30 support. You can see that. And it came up, and it got up a little bit there. I bought it back at the end of May. And it went up to 32.70. I was up 5-6%, but now it's leaking. Doesn't look like it wants to continue to go up here, but I don't know. We're at a level between 20 and 30 where I think eventually you could find some buyers in here. It's in my long-term account. I just kind of wanted it. I wanted some exposure here. I thought Discovery was a better pick than Viacom for, I don't know what my analysis was back then, but both of these stocks just trade together. They're nice pairs trades.
Yeah, hard to make heads or tails. I mean, it's just consolidation station. I think the fact that it's not moving out of here, like it's doing it more
concerning.
Is more as a negative.
I think so too. It is concerning. I'm talking against my book.
Yeah, a little bit there. That's quite all right. A couple more. Oh, we haven't looked at Snowflake for a while. I haven't.
Haven't either.
In a couple of weeks, I think. Maybe like a week or more. Snowflake. Oh.
Oh, that's interesting. That crazy valuations, obviously, they don't come back nearly as quickly. It's still, the valuation's insane. Like the candle from yesterday. So, you know what? I think I'd buy the pullback as a trade. Stopping myself out. Oh, it's a long stop out down to 231, though, Joel. I was looking at yesterday's low. I was hoping that was 241, but it's 231. I was like, oh, 11 points. You know, you come back it in. I kind of like the candle from yesterday. I think this is a stock that could eventually get some life. I'm not putting in a long-term investment account. This would only be a trade. The valuation's too nuts for me to invest in this thing. But I'd stop myself out if I was long into that 231.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you look at the daily chart and you're like, whoa, this thing's had a nice run. Look at this. And then you go and you look at the monthly and you're scratching your head and you're saying, wow, this thing was over $400. I mean, I'm going to look at resistance here. So show me you could even, I mean, you're $8 away from 250.70. That's your 5-day high. Then another pair of highs at 255, 254. So there's resistance there. So I think I'd rather buy this on strength. On a pullback here, though, an extended pullback, where'd you come up from? Like 185. Let me get out my retracement tool here. If you want to buy it on a dip, you know, 220. And you got a low right there at 220. So if this is for real, goes into retreat mode, comes down to 220, holds, consolidate, then maybe get another 50-60 point leg up there. S&P's making a nice rebound here after they got Bullard off the TV. Good job, Spencer. Now they could probably get someone. They probably got someone on to say, oh, Bullard doesn't know what he's talking about. And we're coming back up. So we are back above yesterday's low we talked about at 41.83.
I don't want to forget Amazon because Prime Day is
Dennis.
Day is Monday.
What a run into Prime Day, huh?
When's Prime Day?
Monday and Tuesday.
You're going to be mad at yourself, Dennis.
Should have been loaned this. You got to be
should
long.
Should have been
long. Long Amazon,
every day this week.
I should have been long more Amazon.
I said it every day this week.
I got to listen more. My wife tells me that too.
I definitely said it at least 3 times.
On our show?
Yes.
You do so many shows. Spencer, he's everywhere.
He's the star. He's the star.
I swear.
Well, you got a lot of shows.
I do too many.
I don't know. It's run up so far here now. So, I mean, we have been running 3,200 to 3,500. This has been the play up here to sell 3,500 every time it gets up here. Does it top out on Amazon Prime Day again? I think so. I'm going to stick with the long-term investment, but I'd be more inclined to sell it up here and buy it if I had it on for a trade.
You talk to your straddle buddy. Is he doing okay in this?
But he's been just collecting $50, $60 every week for like
probably
a year. So he's going to continue to do it. And you know what? And he does it. And when he gets assigned on it, if he like all of a sudden short the stock, then he's going to turn around and do the options against it. So, opposite. I mean, you know, so it's similar to Marcus. I hope, anyways, Amazon's worked really well because it's been a sideways market. Sideways market. Option writers love sideways markets.
All right. I'm going to hop off, go over to premarketprep.com and get all these tickers in that we missed. So, Spencer, we'll see you at 3:30.
So many tickers.
I just want to say this is option expiration. You're going to see some crazy movement. I don't think it's surprising that we're bouncing back for the simple reason that all these buy imbalances that were there this morning have got larger. So there is not very many sell imbalances here this morning. They're all huge buy imbalances still. The Morgan Stanley imbalances has grown from 150,000 to 404,000. Okay. So if these buy imbalances do continue to grow and if they don't all flip on a dime, which they can do, and you know, if you don't subscribe to that information, you're missing key information on a day like this. But as of right now, this market's going to continue to bounce back because right now the market would open. If we opened right now, this market would open higher. So, I mean, one of two things have to happen. All the buy imbalances have to flip to sell, or this SPY has to come up significantly. So we're going to find out in 30 minutes what is going to win.
All right, Dennis. See you on Monday.
We'll do that. Thanks, Spencer. Everyone have a great trading day. Have a great weekend.